Thank you, John, Jeanette. Go with me now to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Read with me the text, verses 31 through 38. Luke 22, 31 through 38. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter, Simon, said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And the Lord said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, all of his disciples, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they all said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip or money, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned, he's quoting Isaiah 53, reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Now the title and the subject before us is very simple. I usually give an outline to some of you ladies, but it's just so simple. We're going to look at the sinner. The sinner. Secondly, Satan. And then lastly, the Savior. And I asked the Lord, and I tried to tell myself not to spend more time on the sinner and Satan than I do the Savior. That get to him as quickly as possible, because it's a very fearful thing. There are many warnings here. The sinner, Simon, he says in verse 31, the sinner, Simon, Simon. He doesn't call him Peter here. He calls him Simon, doesn't he? I was mistaken. He did call him Peter down there, didn't he? But not very often. But he addressed him as Simon, Simon. And he often said that, Simon, Simon. You remember by the fire after he arose, Simon, son of Jonah, Bar Jonah. That's who he is. He's just the son of another sinner. That's all Simon was. By nature, Scripture says, there's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one. Scripture says, by one man sin entered into this world, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All have sinned. I want you to turn quickly with me. Proverbs 7. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. What we all are, we're born sinners, and we live in this world as sinners, and we're going to die sinners. We're just a bunch of sinners. That's where we are. But God, that's the faithful saying. Christ came into this world to save sinners, even the chief. Proverbs 7 is the story of a simple man. Look at verse 6. At the window of my house I looked through my casement, behold, and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among you a young man void of understanding. And what happened was this loud and proud and stubborn woman, a harlot, enticed him. She represents many things. She represents everything that's beautiful and enticing in this world. She represents false religion. She represents everything that entices simple sinners. And he fell for her. And she did it with flattery. She did it with smiles. She did it with, you know, good words and fair speeches. And he said, I beheld, and he, verse 22, he went after, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as fool to the crash, till a dart strike through his liver. So he says, hearken unto me, verse 24, O you children, oh my. Chapter 8 of Proverbs, look at this, Proverbs 8, which is Christ, he's wisdom in it. Look at verse 1, doth not he cry? Understanding, Christ is understanding. Doesn't he put forth his voice from the church? Is she? And she standeth in the high places by the way, in the places of the pass. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city. Verse 4, unto you, O men, will I call my voices to the sons of men. O ye simple, O sinners, understand wisdom. Come to Christ. You're just a bunch of sinners. You need a Savior. So the Lord calls Simon's name, not Peter. He calls him Simon. Peter means rock, but here he says, you're just Simon. And you'll fall unless I hold you up. Simon Bar-Jonah. And he says this twice. He says his name twice. You know that? Simon, Simon. Can you see him? You remember the definition of pity that I gave you? It means to shake the head. Like when you look upon somebody that you're in great trouble or sorrow and you shake your head, oh my. Can you see our Lord shaking his head? Simon had just boasted. They had just strove among themselves who was the greatest. And he listened to it. Every one of them did. Got indignant with one another. Strife and division among themselves. And can you see him shaking his head? Like a parrot. Oh, Simon, Simon. That, you know, the Lord said Abraham's name twice when Abraham took Isaac up on the mount to sacrifice. Do you not know that Abraham was distraught? He was trusting the Lord. He was believing the Lord. He was hoping in the Lord. But he's about to kill his son. And God said when Abraham took that knife, he said, how am I going to do this? Don't you know, Abraham said, how am I going to do this? Abraham, Abraham, don't touch the lad. Look behind you. That sent chills up my spine. Moses didn't know he's coming or going. In Egypt and all that. He ran out of Egypt. He's out in the wilderness. He said, there's a bush burning up on that mountain. I'm going to see what this is. And he went up there just to see the sights. And God said, Moses, Moses. This is the same Lord. Same, take off your shoes, Moses. Simon, Simon. Great peace in that voice, isn't there? Oh, how sinful, how weak, how helpless we are in ourselves. Our Lord says, you don't know. You're just wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, we get lifted up with pride and think we have need of nothing, but in fact, we need it. Everything. And without Him, we can do nothing. Thank God. Thank God. Christ is made unto us everything. That He is all fullness dwells in Him. Aren't you thankful that He is made of God? Are we in Him who of God is made unto us all that we need in it? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I quoted that to John, I think. We're sitting up there talking about the Redeemer. And remember, I quoted Ruth where they said to Ruth, the man won't rest until he finished this thing. You put your trust in that kinsman redeemer. He will not rest until he finishes his day. Aren't you glad that God gave us to Christ? That Christ is our redeemer. And all fullness dwells in Him. We are nothing, but all fullness is in Him. And of His fullness have all we received, grace by grace. And He emptied Himself to fill us. Oh, isn't that something? Simon, Simon, Satan. Now let's look at the adversary, Satan. He's called the evil one. He's called Lucifer. He's called the son of the morning. Light. An angel of light in disguise. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the ruler of the darkness of this world. All of it. He's hid it. All the evil. He's called spiritual wickedness in high places. He's called the God or master of this world. Master deceiver. The tiptoe. No man, no woman at their best state is able to stand before him. None. Eve. Adam. And he says to Satan, or he says to simple Simon, Satan hath desired you. Who? A fisherman? Now what's Simon Peter going to do? He can't do anything. And you? Simon Peter, by experience, later wrote in his epistle, 1 Peter 5, he said, Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may desire. Anybody and everybody. All of God's people. And I've said this before. And who does he desire? Me? Well, if he does, I can't stand. Can you? Not before one single temptation. Not one. Our Lord said that without me you can do nothing. Not one. Simon boasted, did it? In himself. And he lifted up himself above his brethren, did it? He said, though all these forsake you, I will not. So all the Lord had to do was just leave him alone. Just 1 minute. You know, everyone who belongs to Christ, I've said this before, Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. But he took a third of the heavenly hosts with him. That's a lot of demons. But he doesn't even need them. He can just leave a man in this world, and the world and everything in it is enough temptation without anybody doing anything to it. But I believe he knows who he does not have absolute control of. I believe he does. He said that about Job, didn't he? And he said, he fears you, but why should he? You've protected him all about. You've blessed everything. You've hedged him about. I can't touch him. You notice that? He couldn't get one boil on his body. Are you with me? Are you with me? Right now, more than ever. He couldn't get one boil on his body unless God said so. Right? And though the means were sent by Satan and this and that, the other Sabaeus, God did it. And Job knew it. And Job said so. That's faith. But anyway, Satan desired Job. Satan desired Simon. And Satan desires all of God's people. You know, the scripture says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. So surely there's joy in hell over one that falls. Don't you know they erupted when David fell? No, it didn't. The enemy's dead. They rejoiced. We got him. We got him. See? He's no better than anybody else. That's what he said. You know he did. Satan's not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. We're going to look at our Lord's Prayer in the garden on Sunday, a little bit. Satan I want to go on. I want to get to the Savior. Okay. But he's not omniscient. And I'm not I am speaking things too wonderful for me, but I don't want to speak evil of dignities. But Satan, our Lord said, look at our text. He said he desires to sift you, to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. As wheat. Now turn with me to Amos, the little book of Amos. Find that. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 9. Amos is called the burning prophet. He speaks so much about fire from God. Right after Joel, the book of Amos chapter 9. Our Lord said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat in a sieve. Have you ever done that? I'm not talking about flour. I'm talking about grain, rough grain. You put it in a big sieve. And what you do to get the chaff out of it is you throw it up there. The threshing floor, there's two ways. Threshing floor, they beat it. And that's how the wheat came out of it. They beat it. Threshing. That's what God sends to all his people, to find out the wheat from the chaff. Trials. Hard trial. And it takes it, the wind comes along and blows the chaff away, and the wheat falls to the ground. Wheat stays there. Wheat's not going anywhere. But then when you put it in a sieve, and you do this and you shake it and you toss it here and to and fro and you really shake it and try to get all this chaff to come out the screen, the sieve, you know, where the wheat will be in the sieve. Well, Satan wants to prove God's people that they're not God's people, that they are in fact chaff. Or like gold is tried in the fire. He wants to prove us to be dross and not gold. He was happy to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be thrown in that fire. How'd they come out? Let go. Who put them there? God did. Who was with them? God was. Christ was. Satan wants to prove you that you're chaff, Simon, that you're not wheat. And he thinks you're worshiping God for nothing, that you're no better than Judas. He's probably said that to Jacob, that you're no better than Esau. Oh, yeah, you'll sell out, time comes. You'll sell out. You'll prove what you are. Now, he had already used Simon once, remember? Do you remember? And Simon rebuked the Lord. The Lord told him what he was going to do, suffer. And he said, oh, he pulled the Lord aside to tell him what he ought to do. And the Lord turned and said, get behind me, Satan. Satan was using him then. Can Satan do that? Can Satan use us? Can Satan use anybody? Oh, yeah. Yes, he can. Let me say this before we look at Amos 9. How did Satan start sin in this earth? How did he start? How was it started? How did all the evil that came in this world, how was it start? Right there. Wasn't it? Whispered to the woman in private. I was telling lies, slandering God, and telling her, God's withholding from you. Did he have a smile on his face? Did Satan have a smile on his face? Yeah. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Smiles. Tears. Did he turn on the tears? God won't let me in again. He won't have anything to do with me. And now he's withholding from you. He's treating you poorly. That's how it all started. Wasn't it? I don't know. Whispering. Gossip. Slander. Criticism. That's how it all started. Can Satan use us? Yes, he can. And I'm telling you, I'm warning you. This is his tool. What he wants is to divide. What he wants is division and strife. What he wants is the kingdom of God to fail. This is a little church, and I'm small potatoes. But this is God's church. And I either am or I am not his preacher. Don't talk about privately. Do not criticize this church, your brothers, and this preacher. If you do, Satan has you. You hear me? Do you hear me? And don't tolerate anybody else doing it. If you love this gospel, if you need this kingdom, this gospel, don't put up with it. You rebuke whoever it is and get behind me. As it can happen, it happens all the time. Don't countenance people's smiles or tears or self-pity. Who's on the Lord's side? Don't do it now. All right? That need to be said. In the last days, the judgments begin at the house of God. Don't be his pawn. Don't be his instrument of strife and division. Don't do it now. Amos chapter 9. Now, this sifting of Satan was really of the Lord. The sifting of Simon Peter. Look at Amos chapter 9, verse 9. And the Lord talks about, you know, the goats and the sheep and the wheat and the tares, doesn't he? Oh, and he says, I'm going to make them known. He says, it's going to be a sifting. Verse 9, I will command, I will sift the house of Israel. You have it? Verse 9, chapter 9. Among all nations, like corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. I'm going to get rid of the dross. But the grain, not one of them is going to fall to the earth. Do you hear me? Verse 10, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. Oh, in that day I'll raise up a tabernacle of David. And he goes on to talk about Christ. Oh, verse 14, I'll bring the captivity of my people. Verse 15, I'll plant them in the land. They'll never be uprooted. But he said, I'm going to do some sifting, and my wheat, they're going to remain. My wheat. So the sifting is of the Lord, isn't it? Though Satan desires and Satan tries and Satan tempts, he can only do what the Lord allows him to do for the good of God's people, like Job. Anything we will ever go through, Job went through it in a matter of a day or two. He went through it all at the same time. You know, in a lifetime, 70 years, we will go through some degree of all of this. Loss of loved ones, loss of things, loss of health, and this and that and the other, won't we? And people and things and calamities and all that will be the means that which it happens, disease or whatever, but it's the Lord that does it. Every bit of it, whatever it is, the Lord said, it is I. Like the disciples, you know, they were out on the sea and they thought they saw a vision on it. He said, why do you imagine things in your heart? He said, when he got in the boat, he said, why is it you're always thinking the word? Why is it you're giving credit to all these things when it is I? Don't sin with your lips. Bless God. That's what he said. Bless God. You have peace in it. If you know, if you realize, if you know, we're downcast, but we're not in despair. Why? Because it's the Lord. He said he doth all things. He worketh all things together for what? For what? Didn't he say in Psalm 91, no evil shall befall you? Didn't he say that? Can he lie? He can't lie. So we just have to wait. Let patience have her perfect work. Wait, I say. Wait on the Lord. You'll see. It was the Lord's hand. And when it's over, you're going to see he knows what he's doing in it. Like Scott Richardson said, if you knew what God knew, you wouldn't change a thing. You'd order your life exactly the way God did it. When at the time you think this is the worst possible thing that could happen. Don't you? We all do. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen. Why? 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 And you wait a little while, you see. It's for His glory, it's for my good, and for the good of His kingdom. All right, let's look at the Savior. I got about 60 more minutes. I wish. I got a little time. The Savior. I've been talking about it, haven't I? Here's His protection and His provisions, His prayer. Savior, our advocate. We're talking about the adversary. Any man sin, we have an advocate. Aren't you glad? He's with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Father always hears His prayer. He said, and one of the ladies texted me today, and I texted the text. She wrote back and said, "Oh, I sure love verse 32. He said, "Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." And I believe he's smiling when he said that. He's shaking his head. "Simon, Simon, Simon, you old Simon, Simon, what you're going to go through." But he lifted his head up. Simon lifted his head up. "I pray for you. Let your faith fail not. I have prayed." Why did the Lord say He prayed for it? Why didn't the Lord just say, "I'm going to take care of you. You don't have a thing to worry about. I've got Satan under my thumb. I'm going to take care of him." Why did He say, "I prayed for you"? Because the Lord is living as a man by faith. He's showing us. He's showing Simon Peter. And our Lord, in this sense, limited Himself. Can I say that? He took upon Himself weakness, the form of in flesh, and he lived totally by faith in God. So he asked God for everything that he received. He asked God for the help for his disciples. Okay? He depended, he cast all his care and all their care upon his heavenly Father. See, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And our Lord, as a man, told us, pray always about everything. Pray your heavenly Father. He answers you. David, all through the Psalm, pray, 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 pray. So he's a man. He's not going to do it. The Father's going to do this. And our Lord, as a man, pray. "I pray for you." He was living by faith, casting his care, as we're told to do, upon the Father. He told them, he told us, to pray without ceasing. Prayer is calling on God to help. And we're going to hear the Lord Sunday, Lord willing, in the garden, calling for help. About to go through something that he said, "If it's possible." And we're going to go through things that, "Lord, please. Help him." Prayer believes God. Prayer calls on God. Waits on an answer. You must wait. He said, "I have prayed for you." He had, he did, and he does. He does not now. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. All right, so he tells us to pray. And Peter, look at verse 32. Verse 32. He says, now Peter, and I was going to turn to John 17 and read so many verses, where the Lord prayed, "Father, I keep them. All you've given me, I've kept." But he said, "I'm coming to the Father. Keep them through thy own name. Keep them. I pray not," he said, "that thou should take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil." And Christ, he said, "The things concerning me," down in verse 37, "have an end." He's leaving, isn't he?
But he's sending a comforter.
He's sending someone else to abide with them and never leave them. And they're one. Christ in the Spirit. No, they're one. But Christ is a real man seated at the right hand of God right now. And the Holy Spirit dwells in every one of God's people, leading, guiding, protecting, doing God's will in God's people's life. Christ said, I'm leaving. He lived as a man for me and prayed as a man in faith to the Father and asked the Father to protect them. So, verse 32, he said to Peter, I pray that thy faith fail not. Now, faith, what is it? Faith is not something we do. Faith is not something we do. Faith is someone we believe in. Faith is not what we do, but faith is believing in what Christ has done. Faith is not us at all. Faith is Him. Faith is it's not an act of ours. It's just looking unto Him. Like a maid, Scripture says, to her mistress. Like a servant to his master. Like a dog to his master. Your dog ever look up and you like at you like, look up at you like, I can't eat. I can't go outside. I can't do it. Help. Your dog ever do that? You're his master. That's faith. You're my everything. That's faith. Looking to Him, believing, trusting Him, trusting God, trusting Christ, depending on Him. It's love to Him. Your dog love you? Don't you wish you could love the Lord like our dogs love us? Follow. That's what faith is. He's object. Faith is not something we do. It's someone we trust. Now, here's what Isaiah said. Now, our Lord said, Peter, Simon, Bar-Jonah, Satan hath desired thee to sift you like wheat. Simon's going to fall terribly. He's going to fall like he's never fallen before because he's no match for this adversary. He's going to fall. And David did. Eve, Adam did. Solomon did. Every man in his best state is going to fall. As I said, fickle, finite, fallible. Failures. That's what we are. Failures. Prone to failure. Prone to fall. Sin, like gravity, pulls us down. There's no hope in ourselves. There's only one hope, and that's in one person. And the Scripture says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord is going to. Simon's going to fall. Simon's going to fail. But Christ won't. Christ's not going to fail. Simon's going to deny Him. Christ's not going to deny Him. He came. You're smiling now. That's good. Peter denied Him. Our Lord would never deny Simon. Peter left Christ. Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ever. Don't you love in Hosea where He said about Ephraim, give him up. Just leave him alone. He's gone to his idol. Leave him alone. And later on the Lord said, how can I give you up, Ephraim? I can't do it. I promised. We fail, we fall. Our Lord Isaiah said it in Isaiah 42, God's servant, behold, he shall not fail till he's done his work. That man, he will not rest till he's done his work. He won't do it. Oh, brothers and sisters, we've got a faithful Lord, don't we? If you can leave, you will. You know that? If you can leave, you will. It means Christ never knew you. It means Christ never loved you. It means Christ didn't purchase you. It means you're not God's elect. If you can leave, you will. It'd be something. Judas, he didn't know Christ. He didn't love. He didn't have any faith. Judas didn't believe Christ. He did not. He didn't love Christ. He didn't love God's people. Like I said, he sold Christ out and he sold the rest of them too. He didn't care about him, care about money. He's hoping the whole thing would fail because he didn't have love of God in him, and so he'll look better if all this falls. But not Simon Peter. He failed. He denied him. And he's not going to sell him. And he's going to go out and weep bitterly in him. And he's not going to leave. He's not going to leave. When it's all over, he's not going to leave. And remember what he said before, and he meant every word of it. Lord, we're not. To whom shall we go? To whom? He had a wife. He had a family. He had a house. He had a job. He had things. And he said, I don't want to go back to that. And he meant it. Why? Because he loved Christ. Why did he love Christ? Because Christ loved him. That's how you know. Okay? And our Lord said, I prayed that your faith fail not. Your dependence on me, your love for me, your looking to me, that you'll never quit looking to me. You're going to fail. You're going to fall miserably. And it's going to cause you great grief and a lot of people around you great grief. But I pray that you'll keep looking to me. Because if you do, it's proof that I have not failed you. I will not fail you. You see, if you can leave, you will. But if you belong to Christ, you might leave, but you'll come back. You know what? He'll come, he'll find you. He'll find you. You can run, but you can't hide. He'll find you. You will sin. You will fall, but never find him. Never find him. You can't. You can't. Isn't that good news? And the purpose of Peter's fall was to get into such a state that he could enter into what all his brethren are going to do. So our Lord said, when you're converted, he got into such a state, he was lifted up with pride, you know, above his brethren. So the Lord said, okay, you're going to fall so low that you don't even know if you're one of them. You're going to doubt your salvation. You're going to think everybody's saved but me. Before he thought, everybody may leave you, not me. And after this is over, you're going to think, nobody left you but me. So, there's no hope for me. No, there's not in yourself. But you have a good hope through grace, don't you? Through Christ. Now, when you're converted, when you get out of this state of pride and bitterness and self-sufficiency and all this, here's what you do. You strengthen your brethren. So Simon's going to be a preacher. He's going to go out in this world. He thought he was strong. He finds out he's weak as getting without the Lord. And what he's going to be doing is preaching to people, every one of them weak, every one of them a bunch of sinners, every one of them sons of Adam, every one of them liable to fall. And none of them can do anything at all. But by His grace, by His power. And He's going to be preaching to them. Now, how's He going to strengthen them? You know what He's going to do? He's going to tell them what happened to Him. He's going to tell them what great things the Lord had done for him. He's going to say, this is a faithful saying, brothers. Like Saul of Tarsus. I'm the chief of sinners. He told that story over and over again, didn't he, John? Saul of Tarsus. This was me. This was me. And this was you, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sin. He said, I was a chief, but God. This is how you strengthen people. This is how you build them up on this most holy faith. This is how you keep them looking to Christ. You're weak, but He's strong. You're a sinner, He's a Savior. No hope in yourself, but there's all hope in Him. Strengthen the brethren. Tell them how weak you are. Confess your faults one to another. Be compassionate to their falls and their failures. And pick them up. Bear their burden. Tell them. Christ is the Savior of sinners. That's who He came for. Look at verse 33. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with Thee both to prison and to death. He will. You know what? He would. But he's got to be converted first. And every one of them said this in Matthew and Mark's gospel. Says every single one of them said the same thing. Us too, Lord. And said all of them. Our Lord said that. Every one of you will be offended because of me. Why? Because the scriptures fulfilled. Because smite the sheep and the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Because nobody's going to go with him to the cross. He's going to go alone. And because every one of us are nothing but sinners. And we're going to fall. Just like our Lord said. But he won't fail. Every one of them left him. He didn't leave one of them. See that? So what is faith? It's not a what. It's looking unto him. Well, and I want to be like Simon Peter. He meant it. He meant it. Didn't it? Now, I'm ready to go. He meant that. But he's got to learn a lesson. Now, read on, and I don't really have time to deal with this, but let me just briefly. Our Lord said, I tell you before the sun comes up, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And the same is true with all of us. We won't leave this. We'll leave this building, and before tomorrow, in some way, somehow, we're going to deny. We're going to act like we've never heard anything the Lord ever said. In our attitude and things that run through our heads and minds, thoughts, and we act like we didn't hear a thing. That's true. Now he says to them, verse 35, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? Now, he's telling them about their weakness. He's telling them about their failures. He's telling them about their hopelessness in themselves and how Satan desires them to sift them like wheat. And now he reminds them where he found them, what he did for them, and that he'll never cease to do so. He says, when I sent you without purse and scrip. Remember that? It wasn't too long ago he said he sent them out. Lacked ye anything? They said, we hadn't lacked a thing. Oh, we've had everything. And I was going to turn to Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd and shall not lack to feed us and lead us and restore us and companionship and righteousness and everything. Christ is all. He provides all for it. Do you lack anything? Have we not receive great mercy and grace and help in time of need all of our lives? Have we not received everything? Have we lacked anything? Nothing, Lord, nothing. But then he says here, and this may be puzzling to you, and it has been to me for years, but I think I have some understanding through Brother Gill and Brother Henry, Matthew Henry. He says, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. I say unto you, that is written must yet be accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressors. And they're going to come for him, like the scripture said, okay? As a band of soldiers and the priests and all that are going to come for him very shortly. And he proved one last time that they don't protect themselves, that he protects them, right? And when he went out in front of all that whole band and said, whom seek you? And they said, Jesus and that. He said, if you seek me, you got to let them go. John, they were coming for all of them, right? Simon Peter. We're going to see this. Simon Peter took one of those swords. And he's going to take them all on. The Lord showed us Simon really meant it, didn't he? He really meant it. But Simon's got to see that sword's not your protection. I am. Christ is. That no one or nothing can have you unless I say so. I'm your shield. I'm your strength. I'm your salvation. Christ is your salvation. Simon took up that sword and the Lord told him, put it up. Didn't it? The Lord is not calling them to arms. Many people take this as a call to arms. See? Got a right to bear arms. That's not what he's saying. what he's telling them, reminding them. In the previous chapter, he told them, he said, they're going to kill you. They're coming at you. There's not a one of you that's not going to be killed, except one. There's going to be one here that's going to see the kingdom of God. That's John. The only one that didn't die. The rest of them died horrible deaths. And none of them ever carried a sword. Never. Paul talked about all the perils he faced of robbers and he did not carry a sword. In fact, he said, put on the whole armor of God, didn't it? He said, arm yourselves with this, the sword of the Spirit, that He is your shield. They didn't carry a sword. What our Lord is telling them is things are going to get so bad, you're going to wish you had a sword. But you don't need one. Because here's one of them said, well, here's two. And Mike, what Gil said was the Lord said, it's like, that's enough. That's enough. Like, that's all I want to say on the subject. Here's two swords among 11 men facing an army. It's not the sword. He's not telling them to take up the sword. But what he's been telling them all along and showing them all along, that Christ is their Savior. He's their shield. And He's their salvation. And He's their righteousness. And He's their shepherd. And He's their wisdom. And He's their everything. That's what He's been telling them. He's all. He said, troubles are coming. They're coming. You're going to fail. The enemy's going to be after you. But I'm your Savior. Keep looking to me. I pray that your faith fail not. That you keep looking to me. Don't look to the means. Don't look to these things. Don't try to defend yourself. Look to me. I'm your defense. I'm your salvation. Okay.